Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
How do you measure a life, right? And then it says, how about love, right? I love that song, that Seasons of Love song. It's still in my head. And I got to tell you, I was okay with that today because we are following the lectionary right now. That's the three-year cycle for getting us the Word of God into our churches to get different parts of the Bible. And it seems like we're kind of in this season of love with the scriptures that the scripture pickers have picked for us. Last week, we had 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. And in there, it encouraged us to think about where love abides. Not just the places where love abides, but the people with whom love abides in, right? People that hold God in their hearts. Hopefully, us, right? Yeah. This week, we're going to continue with that sentiment, but we're going to bounce back to John, the Gospel of John, and we hear Jesus say, I am the vine. Another verse. I know, lots of them today, right? But John chapter 4, verse 16 says, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Let us pray. God of love, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So, I could sing of his love forever. Yeah, right? I could talk about love forever, right? It is, like, my favorite thing. And I was told that, like, each pastor has, like, three things they only ever talk about. And someone said, but you just have love, right? So I'm working on it, right? But I just love thinking about God's love, right? Because for me, it's foundational. It's transformational. It's connectional, right? And it's, like, the main ingredient for humans to grow. You need it, right? My daughter planted a pumpkin seed the other day. She said, Mom, all you need for a pumpkin seed is soil, sun, and water, right? It's that simple. For me, all you need to grow in life is love and some other things, but love, right? But if you look at your bulletin and the sermon title, it doesn't say that we're talking about love today. It says we're talking about proclaiming the good news. Okay, yeah, for some, the same thing, right? But in order to proclaim the good news, I feel like we have to know what the good news is, and then we have to be equipped enough to carry that good news out in the world, right? So what is the good news and what isn't it? Well, the good news is God's redemption, the redemptive power of love, a message of love, grace, and salvation through Jesus Christ. The good news is the powerful love of God that's for everyone who chooses to believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The good news is forgiveness, grace, and love. So I guess we are going to talk about love today. Today's scripture invites us, though, to consider our connection, how we are connected, the ways that God's beloved community can be intertwined, or from the same branches. I love this scripture. I love it because it's Jesus being the vine and we're the branches, and it invites us to remember that we are not the good news. You are not the good news. I'm not the good news, right? That's not laid on us. We are to be the branches. It made me think about times when I've been away from here, on vacation or traveling or such, and I run into somebody in like a Wisconsin shirt or a hat, right? And like immediately you're like, oh my goodness, where are you from, right? And after just like a couple seconds of that conversation, that exchange, you can discover that you guys know something that's similar or the same, most likely, right? Someone said, what is it, 7 degrees of separation or something, right? Yeah, sometimes it's only like 2 degrees or a half a degree. And sometimes it feels like you can't go anywhere and everybody knows somebody, don't they? Yeah. But isn't it this amazing feeling that all of a sudden a stranger becomes a connection? Jesus says, as recorded in the book of John, that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And God is the vine grower. I also have this very deep feeling of relief in response to these verses. Because not only am I not the good news, but it's not my job to do the pruning. Yeah. My job is to grow. We're not the ones that hold the salvation or the redemption or the responsibility of judgment, thank goodness. We don't even need to know the right recipe, sun, water, soil, right? We just grow. That's our job, one job. It could take many forms. Growth usually does, right? Good growth takes lots of forms, right? But that's all that's being asked of me and all who believe, to let Jesus connect us to God and to God's people. So, we got to know who Jesus is. Yeah, I need to know Jesus, and I will know him by his love, right? Yeah, but I need to be prepared to listen and to read about and to look for and to experience Christ's likeness in the world so that I can share it from my heart, from a deep place within me. But I don't have to be the vine, and I'm definitely not the vine grower. I like that image. As much as I like to sit and talk about love, I could sit in the image of the vine and the vine grower all day. But verse 2 grabbed my heart. Verse 2 says, where'd it go? Oh, it's right here. Ha! Thank you, Susan. It says, every branch that bears fruit, God prunes to make it bear more fruit. Every branch is pruned. It might look like a really good branch. It might already be beautiful. It might be doing the good news sharing, right? But every branch is pruned. The dead ones thrown out, the ones with growth pruned for more growth. Even those who are doing it right, or doing everything right, or good, or beautiful, even those who are sharing in the love of God will be pruned by the Creator so that more fruit can be born. It's kind of relieving to know that God will prune our brokenness from us, our dead branches. And it's a good reminder that sometimes we might find ourselves feeling separated from the vine or the source of life due to personal destruction, natural elements, or because it was our turn to get pruned. I prefer to think about the vine and its branches and its connectedness and growing fruit. After all, who plants a fruit tree just to add to their calendar many times of clip, clip, cut, cut, cut water, right? We plant fruit trees to get fruit, right? It would be no fun if your fruit tree required a lot of work and never bore any fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, we learn the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All qualities that will help grow the reach of God's love. And that makes me think about our superpowers. Did you know that everybody has a superpower? Do you know yours? Yeah? I could tell you mine, but you'll laugh. But everyone has one,
right? Everyone's got a superpower, something in them. Okay, my superpower is that when my head hits the pillow, I fall asleep. Yeah. Luckily, my husband's superpower is that he can hear everything. Very good combination. Mommy sleeps, daddy hears. Yep. Yeah. But what if your superpower is like bearing good fruit, right? Or pruning with love. Or training a vine in the way it should grow. See what I did there? Yeah. What if that was your superpower? Then you need to use it for God's life in this world. I was reminded this week that not all growth is good, and that not all superpowers are used for good. But I don't want to sit in that picture. I want to not think about how the cost of my growth could hurt others' growth. I want to stay connected to the vine, to Jesus. And it made me wonder, how do you do that, right? If I got to have 2 minutes with each of you and I said, how do you stay connected to Jesus, what would your answer be? I won't take 2 minutes right now, but I'll give you a second to think about it. Because, yeah, I'll ask you someday. Because I want to know. Not just because I want to know about you, but also because I maybe could use a few tips on how to stay connected to Jesus. And one of you might do something that I hadn't even thought of yet. Right? Some people read the Bible every day. Some people start and end their day in prayer, right? Some people stop at every stop sign and red light and offer a prayer. Yeah. I have a friend that every time she heard sirens, she would stop and pray. And she'd say, thank you, God, for that not being me. And please take care of those who are serving those who are hurt right now. She does that every time. I thought, wow, you're really great. I should try that. Yeah, but how do you stay connected to the vine? Being here in worship, does that help? I hope so. Yeah, come back and do it again, right? Yeah, bringing other people in. Maybe that helps you stay connected. What is it for you? I've been thinking about these questions a lot lately in my own life, probably because it's general conference going on. Right? And there's some pruning and some cutting and some judging that usually happens at General Conference of the United Methodist Church, but also because the effects of those 2 weeks will have effects on our church, on the people that call themselves United Methodists. Right? I was also thinking about it because I was wondering about spiritual practices of discipline to teach my children. Right? A lot of responsibility being a parent. Yeah. So far, we've got the prayer at supper time down really, really well. We fight over that. I'm thankful, right? Yeah. But then I thought, in order for me to teach them, I need to stay connected to God, to the Spirit. Someone asked me the other day if I'm involved in if I have an accountability partner and if I have a family that gathers and practices Scripture together and reads it together. And I thought, oh, good idea. Yeah, haven't done that in a while. Yeah. We're talking about the vine and the branches. And I remembered my Uncle Heinz, and I'd like to tell you about him. Yeah. My Uncle Heinz grows grapes at his home in Switzerland. The vines creep and crawl and stretch up the rock wall that separates his house from the street. Those vines also grow up the side of the guest room. They are beautiful grapes. Heinz is a big guy. One of those quiet ones most of the time. But he can get really riled up when kid visitors get a bit loud or have been cooped up too long. But even the voice that he used to send us outside did not stand up to the volume and determination that he mustered to say, "Don't touch my grapes." Oh, I wish you could hear it. "Don't touch my grapes." In a Swiss, heavy Swiss accent, he spoke in English his most clear words to us: "Do not touch my grapes." I can still feel the child in me looking at that face, knowing that you better not touch those grapes. He was serious. And it became this little dance when we were there, a dance of wills after that first encounter, to see how close you could come to touching the grapes before that sounding alarm would ring. Because he only had one request. Some of my siblings tested that quite a bit. My mother had a lot of fun with it, actually, if I remember correctly. But Heinz was serious, just like God is, about caring for the vine. Jesus is God's son, and anyone who has encountered a mama bear or a papa rooski when their Joey is in harm's way knows that seriousness that comes from protection and care. It's usually loud, it's got a big arm, and it leaves you with absolutely no doubt. Right? Because God is the pruner, the vine grower, the one that's in charge of protecting the grapes. And Jesus is the connection, the very vine itself, that gives life and holds tightly to the fruit until it is time to let them go. And we are the branches, stretched out for miles and around rocks and growing above guest rooms. We are the ones that, if we abide in the vine, will yield glory unto God. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.